1 Corinthians 14:6, it tells us a story that how can I profit you being a tongue talker? I'm a tongue talker. But how can I profit you? I speak of new tongues as the Spirit gives utterance, but how can I profit you, said 1 Corinthians 14, verse 6, except I speak unto you by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophecy, or by doctrine. Isn't that beautiful? When you study into that, you find that knowledge has a part to play in all four of those approaches. Revelation is knowledge never known before. Knowledge as a gift is knowledge that a few folks might know. You might know, the doctor might know, somebody else might know. It's limited who knows it. Prophecy is knowledge about the future, foretelling the future, history written in advance. And doctrine is knowledge we all should know by reading the Bible. And so we've had lots of knowledge here this week because God is very knowledgeable and he knows what he's doing. He's not the author of confusion. But he doeth all things well, maketh both the blind to see and the deaf to hear. Isn't it true? Glory to God. Ah, yes. Well, you may be seated. That is all but little Stevie Harper. He's going to come up here and pick the mandolin tonight, and we're going to do one more special song for you, as we have been doing each night. You didn't know this fellow was a picker, but he is a picker. And we're going to let him pick the mandolin. I got that job last night. However, I heard him play today. So I'm giving him the job today, if that tells you anything. Amen. And we've got one song picked out, an old-fashioned Holy Ghost picking and singing tune for the glory of God. And I suppose some of you will wonder where I got the idea for this song. I've been enjoying the clear skies and sunny weather here the last 3 days or so. And that follows over into your Christian experience, does it not? There's a dark and a stormy side of life. There's a bright, there's a sunny side too. Though we meet with the darkness and strife, the sunny side we also may view. So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way if you keep on the sunny side of life. Song of hope each day. Oh, the moments be cloudy or fair, let us trust with our Savior always, who giveth everyone in his care. Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way if you keep on the sunny side of life. Crushing dreams that we cherish for years. Storms and clouds will in time pass away. The sun again will always appear. Let's keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way if you keep on the sunny side of life. Pick it up.
keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side, keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day, it will brighten all the way, if you keep on the sunny side of life. If you keep on the sunny side of life.
Keep on the sunny side. How many enjoyed Brother Steve there tonight? Picking his mandolin. Oh, it was fun. We enjoyed it. Amen to God. Well, we're real happy to see that God is moving again tonight. And we appreciate all you folks. We've learned to love you in a year's time. And we won't forget you. And maybe we might even be back in Louisiana sometime. There are so many preachers came here this week that we're bound to wind up preaching for some of them, or one or two of them. Amen. I gave all my cards away, but for the few folks that wanted to write to us or get a hold of us, I had a few of the envelopes left. And so if you'd like to get our address to find out where we're at and what we're doing, well, I feel free to find out. I don't put a publication out too often, once in a blue moon. But you could write and see where we're at, and if it's not too far and you don't have church, why, we'll probably be in revival. Amen. It's been grand. So let us see. Let us rise to our feet as we've been doing, and let's just spend just a few seconds thanking God for everything that's happened all this week. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God.
Blessed be God. Blessed be God.
Praising, praising, praising. Whoa, glory, glory to the Lamb. Slain from the foundation. Wonderful Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, great I am and great eternal wonder. Lily of the valley, Rose of Sharon, bright and morning star, fairest of 10,000, wheel in the middle of the wheel. Glory to God, altogether lovely one. Oh, thank God. Hallelujah to God. Praising, praising. Praising, praising. Glory be to God. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. He is my friend and true to the end, who gave himself to redeem us. Jesus, my wonderful Lord. Thank God. Are you happy? Glory be to God. I believe tonight he's first and the last, don't you? Hallelujah. And you know, from A to Z, that is Alpha to Omega, Genesis to Revelation, I am convinced that there are many names for Christ. Amen. The Bible tells us he's Adam, 1 Corinthians 15:45. 1 John, he's the Advocate. He's the Almighty, Alpha and Omega, the Amen, the Apostle of our profession, the Arm of the Lord, the author and the finisher of our faith, and the author of eternal salvation, and that's only under the A's. Say amen.
Amen.
Now the B's. Beginning of the creation of God, beloved Son, blessed and only potentate, the branch and the bread of life. If you'd like to hear what he is under the C's. Captain of our salvation, the chief shepherd, the Christ of God, the consolation of Israel, the cornerstone, the counselor, and the creator. Now would you like to hear what he is under the D's? Amen. The day spring from on high that has visited us, the deliverer, the desire of all nations, and the door to the sheepfold. Amen. The elect of God, the everlasting Father, the faithful witness, the first and the last, the first begotten, the forerunner. The glory of the Lord, God, God blessed, good shepherd, the governor, the great high priest. Would you like to hear the rest of this in alphabetical order? The head of the church, that's the H's, heir of all things, the holy child, the holy one of God, the holy one of Israel, the horn of salvation. Amen. Talking about Jesus here, all the different names from A to Z. That's what Alpha and Omega really means, you know. Amen. The I Am, the image of God, Emmanuel, Jehovah, Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, Judge of Israel, Just One. Now we're only down through the J's of all references to Christ throughout the Bible. And these are scriptural references. The King, King of the Ages, King of the Jews, King of Kings, King of Saints. The Lawgiver, the Lamb of God, the Leader, the Life, the Light of the World, Lion of the Tribe of Judah, Lord of All, Lord of Glory, Lord of Lords, the Lord our Righteousness. Amen. Man of Sorrows, Mediator, Messenger of the Covenant, the Messiah, the Mighty God, the Mighty One, the Morning Star, the Nazarene, Only Begotten Son, our Passover, Prince of Kings, Prince of Life, Prince of Peace, and the Prophet. Redeemer, Resurrection and the Life, the Rock, the Root of David, the Rose of Sharon, Savior, Seed of the Woman, Shepherd and Bishop of Souls, Shiloh, Son of the Blessed, Son of David, Son of God, Son of the Highest, Son of Man, and the Son of Righteousness. All right. The true light, the true vine, the truth, the witness, the word, and finally, the word of God. Clap your hand again and thank him tonight. He's worthy. Hallelujah to God. Blessed be the Lord. Thank God, thank God. Oh, hallelujah. Now we're going to read to you out of the Bible, that is out of the word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and not too long, but briefly we hope we can deal with the subject tonight of the gifts of the Spirit, their operation, their definition, and as best to our description, how they function. Amen. Are you interested? That's good. You should be if you're Pentecostal. Pentecostalism is not a denomination. It is an experience, and you cannot continue to stay in it without an experience. Hallelujah. I know that popped somebody's bubble. Chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. I like that. You know you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now let's start listing the nine gifts of the Spirit. Here they are listed at one, all in place in the Bible. And 4:1 is given by the Spirit. Read it. What's it say? To another, the by the same Spirit. To another, by the same Spirit. To another, the by the same Spirit. To another, the working of. To another. To another. To another, diverse kinds of. To another, the. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Lord Jesus, divide severally as you will tonight among the congregation everything you'd have them to do and also to receive. So now let the power of God move not through our ignorance, because we're not ignorant no more of spiritual gifts. We know they exist. We know they're real. Now teach us more, and may we leave here knowing more about how your Spirit functions and operates. And everyone said, thank God.
Thank God.
God bless. Seated you may be. Well, I am happy, aren't you? Now concerning spiritual gifts, I'd not have you ignorant. God is sick and tired of ignorance. Ouch. Wondering why the preacher bends his ear. He listens for a response. Amen, oh me, or oh my, one of them will fit you. The microphone is portable. We can come down, pick out the quiet spot, and preach if we have to. Ah, yes. And it's so cordless, this microphone, that nobody in the church can escape us this evening. It'll travel anywhere. I have a microphone like this myself that I use in our tent crusades, and lots of nights I spend as much time out in the parking lot praying as I do underneath the tent. There's no hiding place down here. Say amen. Oh, thank God, I'm happy. Now, the scripture tells us that the days of this ignorance, God winked at it, but now he commands all men to. So that's good. We're no longer ignorant of the fact that we need to repent. Farther along, he said, I'd not have you ignorant, brethren, how all were baptized unto Moses in the sea, water, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud, spirit. All did eat the same spiritual meat, all did drink the same spiritual drink, that rock was Christ. Now then, we are so glad that we are no longer ignorant of water baptism and spirit baptism. But why did God fill you with the Holy Ghost? Just to leave you sitting around twiddling your thumbs saying, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Hurry up and come back, Jesus. He gave you the Holy Ghost that ye may receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. There is no end in itself. There is no stopping place in God. You're going on, frontwards or backwards, progression or retrogression. No such a thing as stalemate and checkmate and holding your own, treading water, sitting on a shelf, getting no place. God's looking for progress. If any ministry does not grow, it'll die. That includes all of you saved saints who are called, if you're saved, to either preach, teach, or witness. You have no excuse. You must do one of the three, or you lose what you've already got. Amen. Well, I'm happy. Somebody said, well, I've done the important things, and now I'm just sitting and waiting. Look out. You might leak out. You might wind down. You may cool off. You may dry up. You have got to continue on. Now, if you have repented and been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke of new tongues, is that an end in itself? Or is that the beginning of action, the beginning of work, the beginning of life, a new life, a born-again life for you? Now, I'm a firm believer in gifts of the Spirit. I also believe in signs. Signs following, these signs shall follow them that believe. I'm not going to try to explain what signs operates in this ministry until they happen. Then I'll try to explain it to you as they happen. Amen. And then again, I believe in power levels, that you have breakthroughs or power levels, or God gives you power over certain areas. David was on the throne of Judah 7.5 years, but suddenly dawned on him that he needed to get on the throne of all of Israel, all 12 tribes. Take dominion over the whole land, Dan to Beersheba. Hallelujah. And so tonight, the 9 gifts of the Spirit, we have already read them, and you have read them yourself. We have mentioned them. The first 3 gifts are the knowing gifts, which are the word of knowledge, the discerning of spirits, and the word of wisdom. Amen. These are the 3 gifts of the Spirit that help you to think like God. Look out now. The next 3 gifts are the gifts of faith, the gifts of healing, and the working of miracles. These are the 3 gifts that help you to act like God. Ah, yes. And the last 3, which are the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation of tongues, and prophecy, are the 3 gifts that help you to talk like God. Now, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. I don't believe you have gifts that you turn off and on like a faucet or anytime you feel like doing it. But if you're easily yielded to a gift of the Spirit, which is out there, which is in the realm of the Spirit, operating all the time, if you'll just lend an ear and yield to and let God carry you into the midst thereof and thrust you forth with his own incentive and his own catalytic push and unction. In that realm of the Spirit, if you only get in the Spirit, these gifts are operating all the time. Amen. Like Brother Barnes says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. So if God's a Spirit and he's everywhere and he's here, every square inch of God is just filled with eyes, just filled with power. Everything that we see has come out of God. No matter what it is, it's formulated by the word of God, spoken, and out of God it came. One day it's going to rot and go back to the dust and disappear and become invisible again, going back into God. But it'll never really disappear, for every tree that rots here, one appears over in the glory world. He's still preparing a place for us. Don't forget that. Say hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm looking for some preparation tonight. You can't kill a Christian. The soul of man never dies. You'll never perish believing on Christ, because you'll just pass from this world to the next, as all things do. But why does he do it that way? So that no flesh can glory in his sight. He don't want anything glorying around him but he himself. He deserves the glory, and he's powerful enough to need that glory from you. And so we're going to give God the glory for everything tonight. Herod was upset because Peter escaped his prison, and up in Caesarea, he delivered this speech, and everybody said, it's the voice of a God. Of course, they were just trying to make him feel good and blarney him up, kind of console him a little. And he said, you know, you're right, it is the voice of a God. And he gave not God the glory. Now, an angel was standing by and saying, hurry up, Herod, pass the glory on to God. He says, I'll not do it. I'm going to hog it for myself. Too bad, said the angel. I've got to run you through. So he grabbed the wormy sword and stuck it in him. And that sword went through Herod, and worms crawled immediately through his body. And he yielded up the ghost and dropped dead on the platform. That's right. Why? Because he gave not God the glory. So I suggest tonight you give God the glory. Nobody needs to be dying of worms this evening. And I don't care what kind of a worm might be attacking you. If you give God the glory, he'll take it out of you. Say hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. Blessed be God. That's right. Thank God. So when you get to thinking like him and acting like him and talking like him, the devil better look out, because he couldn't stand a chance. He wouldn't stand no more of a prayer than a snowball in the hot place. Say hallelujah. Are you hearing me? He can't take it. Not when it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, operating. Oh, I want to be crucified of Christ. Nevertheless, I'll live, yet not I, but Christ will be living in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, Christ is dead in vain. But righteousness has come by grace tonight. It's come by faith. Even Abraham, father of faith, kept circumcision. But it wasn't why he was righteous. Because Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. For if he had not first believed God, he would have never suffered in the flesh. If he didn't believe in the cause, if he didn't believe that God wanted him to do it, that he would have never suffered circumcision. Say hallelujah. Isn't it right? And I believe faith is coming tonight. Faith cometh. It's coming all right. But it's coming by hearing. Glory to God. It's on its way. Now, the first gift of the Spirit is the one that we must deal with first, the word of knowledge. It's the most prevalent that has operated here this week, along with miracles. As we've already mentioned, 1 Corinthians 14 and 6, that even though we speak in tongues as a people, we cannot profit other people unless we speak by revelation, by knowledge, by prophecy, or by doctrine. One of these four ways is the only way we're going to be profitable to anybody listening to us. And so I want to speak plainly that way tonight, that first of all, by the word of knowledge, by definition, means that gift of the Spirit, which is a supernatural revelation of natural things. Now, if you have a tape recorder or a notebook, I don't mind you writing this down. You got a good memory, photostatic mind, just burn it in your brain. Amen. The word of knowledge, by definition, is a supernatural revelation of natural things. It could be persons, places, things, facts, figures, incidents, situations, anything to do with the physical world around you. But it pertains precisely to the physical world. A revelation of the physical realm. That is why it is so very, very provable. There's no way to fake it. There's no way to hornswoggle anybody or pull the wool over their eye. They know. Amen. It's from the provable realm of the flesh and the physical, this gift of the word of knowledge. Amen. Is it right? That makes it the toughest gift and the toughest ministry on earth to operate. Well, you could get by prophesying the future because you could leave town before it comes to pass. Say amen. And if it don't come to pass, why, it's just not the right time. And yes, not God's time for it to bring it to pass. But the word of knowledge is different than prophecy. Prophecy is history written in advance or foretelling the future, which is not yet provable. But the word of knowledge is from the physical realm, and it pertains to the past and to the present. So it is very, very provable. Amen. It's things that you might know. Your doctor might know. Your family might know. But there's no way that the preacher or the individual operating the gift will know it except by divine revelation. God lets him in on it. And every time it pertains to the past and present and deals with the physical, natural, temporal realm. Amen. Now, the second gift of the Spirit, discerning of spirits. Again, by definition, it is a supernatural revelation, but not of the physical world at all. It's a supernatural revelation of the spirit realm and let you know what spirits are operating. Now, somebody said, oh, so-and-so's got discernment. No such a thing as the gift of discernment. It's discerning of spirits, a supernatural revelation of the spirit world. Now, in the spirit world, there are three basic spirits constantly operating. God, who is a spirit, greatest revelation in the Bible. God, the Father of all spirits. And then there is self. Human beings have a spirit. Amen. There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. And what knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man that's in man? The only reason I know anything is because I have a spirit in me. But who or what knoweth the things of God, save the spirit of God that's in man? Aren't you glad you're filled with the Holy Ghost? You not only have your own spirit in your body, you've got God's spirit in your body too. So you will know things naturally because your spirit knows natural things. But when God fills you with his Holy Ghost, why, then know the things of God because his spirit's in you too. Say amen. Glory to God. Now, I know there's people that want all the gifts and all the power, but they don't want to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, remember, these are gifts of the Holy Ghost. Does it not stand the reason that they'll be much more effective if you get baptized initially with the Holy Ghost? I don't want to be in Ezekiel's river in my ankles, my knees, my waist. I want to be up there where it's over my head, where there's waters to swim in, immersed, plunged, buried, baptized in the flow. Somebody said, that's the problem with your preaching, Brother Freddie. It's way over my head. Well, good. You may learn to swim tonight. Because as long as you're fishing for the bottom, you'll be walking on the bottom. But when it's over your head, you'll drown or you'll swim. Say amen. So launch out into the deep. God's going to teach you how to swim tonight. Things that you can't explain or figure out and don't know how to do on your own, he's going to be doing it for you when he casts you on out there into deep waters. Say hallelujah. Praise my God. Now, there are yet people, I have to admit, that seem to have some semblance of success, for instance, in divine healing, miracles, and that have never been filled with the Holy Ghost yet. It's hard to explain. Other than this, I cannot explain it. But if you're halfway out to Ezekiel's river, up to your waist, I said, if you're halfway out in the river, that is as effective as your gift will be. Because it is a gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And if you're only 50% into the anointing, well, look for your gift to be 50% effective. We've got a lot of people generalizing and shooting in the dark and trying to palm off and portray what they have as something greater than what it is. But nothing can take the place of being baptized with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, because then you know that when your gift functions, it will be 100% gift, 100% effective, because you're 100% full. Now, it's a simple gospel, is it not? Amen. All right. Now, discerning of spirits is, by revelation or by definition, the supernatural revelation of the spirit world, whether it's God's spirit, the human spirit, or the devil, spirit number three. Now, there's lots of demons and devils and imps and principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places and rulers. It's a highly synchronized and organized army and warfare that the devil's carrying on. He's got his henchmen all organized right to the hilt because he knows he's outnumbered 2-1 by way of angels. He knows that he only has maybe a third of the power that God operates when God don't even try to operate. Amen. Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. They worked 3 miracles, but Moses worked 10. They were only 30% effective. And Moses' third miracle swallowed up the first 3. And then he went on to do 10 miracles. You see that? Now, you can't depend on the devil. You can go down to the fortune teller and get your headache moved. But next day, it'll be in your back worse. You go the next day, get out of your back, and it'll be in your sciatic nerve, and you'll be crippled. Your legs start crippling up. And remember, this started off as a headache. Then you can go back the next day and get it out of your hip, and pretty soon, all my afflictions are gone. But then this suicide spirit is on your shoulder. Just beep, 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 beep. Just go take a gun and blow your brains out. Go to the barn and take a rope with you or jump off the bridge. And what started off as a headache wound up a suicide case. Now, why am I telling you this? Because every time you mess with the devil, you get a bigger demon on your back. Hallelujah. Satan does not cast out Satan, but the bigger devils bully the little ones. They're so frustrated and envious, and they've got so many vices, they just can't hardly get along with each other. If Lucifer wasn't around to keep them straight, they wouldn't stay as straight as they are straight. Say amen. And so it just delights. And an unclean spirit delights in coming back and finding his house empty. Swept, garnished, polished, burnished, varnished, bright, glistening, pure, perfect, but empty. There's much to be said about getting full of the Holy Ghost, full of a greater spirit than the one trying to crawl back in. The law of physics and common reason says if you don't have a greater power on the inside than the one trying to crawl in, the one trying to crawl in is going to get in. Say amen. Again, I say, be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk on wine wherein there is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Glory to God. And when he comes back, he takes a lot more with him, because next time he's going to have a mighty battle to get thrown out. He knows how much reinforcement it takes to try to hang in there the next time. Amen. You might have took him by surprise the first time, but when that unclean spirit comes back, he's got 7 more worse than himself, and they're going to hold up in there. Amen. They're going to hold the fort for dear life. Hallelujah. Well, I'm happy. Now then, the 3 spirits, God's, yours, and the devil's. Now, when we get into the devil's spirit, we will find that there are differences, different levels of demonic activity. There is oppression. There is obsession. There is repression. There is depression. There is finally possession and all the rest of the sessions. Say amen. In other words, the devil don't take you over immediately, but he keeps on pushing and pressing, and finally he infiltrates and he enters. Now, the discerning of spirits lets you know if it's God, man, or the devil operating. If it's God, you know it. And just because it's not God does not necessarily mean it's the devil. Because man's swaggering around and waltzing around trying to do things himself, you know. Amen. That spirit in man oftentimes has got to have his old ego fed. And he gets to manipulating, and he gets to sleight of hand, and he gets rising up some cunningly devised fables and some tricks up his sleeve. But then if it's the devil, it lets you know which devil, what's his name, what's his bondage level. Is he outside you or is he inside you? Is he oppressed from the outside or is he possessed and rule your heart, mind, soul from the inside? You see that? And so this is very important to know, that the discerning of spirits is a supernatural revelation of the spirit world. So far, we're still talking about knowledge. You could know ever so much, it wouldn't do you an ounce of good if you couldn't think about it. 1965, healing came to me after praying for the sick for 3 years and nobody ever got healed. I continued to pray for the sick because I knew it was scripture, and finally in western West Virginia one night, a boy that was dying of cancer, a young fellow who had 6 months to live, came to the prayer line, and I just was praying because it was the thing to do. The Bible said to pray. I didn't expect anything. I knew nothing would happen. I never bothered even checking anything because of it. But this night, I had my hand on his throat. Something jumped. I said, now, surely that's my imagination. But this boy who had no speech suddenly started to shout and cry, sing out. And his backslidden mother was on the back pew, came dashing to the front, hit the altar, and got saved. Hallelujah. Which is the purpose of God doing the supernatural, is to win the soul. Don't ever lose sight of the purpose, or you'll be majoring on a minor. Brother Barnes knows well about the great Voice of Healing move in the 1950s, and I have not really talked to him about this, but I feel so strongly impressed that God spoke this to me, that the reason the Voice of Healing move fizzled was because the emphasis came on the flesh and the healing and the physical all the time, and each revival service became a contest of who would have the greatest miracle. You see what I mean? And lost total sight of the purpose of the miracle, which was to reach the soul. I've always preached that God uses the miracle to reach the soul. Hallelujah. Don't get short-sighted in the purpose of gifts of the Spirit. They're not for a sensational time. They're to reach the lost and take them out of hell. Hallelujah. Is it true? All right? Now, word of wisdom, by definition, the word of wisdom is how to apply the knowledge or the discerning that you've received. Again, you could know ever so much, but it wouldn't do you any good if you couldn't do anything about it or you didn't know what to do with it. Is that right? I know there's going to be great works and healings and miracles here tonight. I know that. But we have finally reached the last night of the service, and it's necessary to preach this doctrine tonight so that you can get it in your system and in your spirit. Hallelujah. In 1965, when healing came to me and the boy received healing of the cancer of the throat, after that night, it seemed everybody we prayed for started getting healed. It was a test. It was a breakthrough. After 3 years of no success, then one started, it all started. And that's how it usually begins in your life, too. When you hit the breakthrough and the power level, everything within that perimeter and that boundary in your life has been given to you to exercise the power thereof, because it will be successful and you will not be a failure in what God has given you. Amen. Even on a tough night, things will still happen within your boundaries and in your perimeter, your power level. Say amen. Are you happy about that? Now, in 1966, I went with a man for 21 days, and as I sat there watching the revelation, 1 year after healing had come to me, I realized what I had to do, but I did not know how to go about it. I was only there 3 weeks, and I had to go for a reason of financial situation, which is very prevalent among evangelists. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a reason why we preach every night of the year. Hallelujah. But by preaching every night of the year, that's what makes what God has given you strong. Anything you exercise will get strong. But if you do not exercise it, it will become very weak and rusty, and you'll have to get out of bed. After 6 months of laying in bed, you'll have to get out of bed and learn to walk all over again. So there is no let up in this warfare. Hallelujah. But as I watched and tried to figure out how this man was operating, I scrutinized and I analyzed and I studied and I grit my teeth, and every time I had it figured out, it operated backwards. Every time I just knew how he was doing it, it didn't fit no rhyme nor reason. It fit no regulation nor rule. There was no law. I began to conclude that God deals with everybody different, and that you must learn how God is going to speak to you. And that can only be done by exercising and utilizing what God has given you. And when I begin to realize, hey, there's no set of rules for this. There's no way to learn it. And the only way to receive it is to sit under it and absorb it. It becomes part of your spirit. You grow authority by subjecting to authority. You receive gifts by sitting under the operation of gifts. It's the only teacher. Because with you, it's going to be different than the next fellow. It's true. Say amen. And this being the case, I left in a little town in Mount Airy, North Carolina, when I left there. And that next night, of course, I knew what I had to do, but I didn't have a clue about how to go about it or what to do at all. But here I was. I finished my preaching, and I was dreading it. Yes, I was dreading it. And finally, I stood in the middle of the floor for 20 minutes, sweating, a pool of perspiration. You could see it on the rug. It was actually an old hardwood floor, but it was the beads of perspiration was just rolling off me and hitting the floor. And I was gritting my teeth, and finally I spit it out after 20 minutes. I said, somebody here's got a headache. And I died 10,000 deaths and almost fainted. But somebody got up, came up with a headache, and we prayed, and it left him. And we dismissed and went home, and that was the whole meeting that night. Say amen. Amen. But that's how it began. Now, this is 1987, been 21 years in Revelation now. I always thank God that it came to me after healing came, and would have been a disaster if revelation had come before healing had come. Because all these things, you see, would have been being revealed, but nothing would have been being healed. So don't ever get the cart ahead of the horse and go after a gift because it seems to be sensational. Say amen. Is it all right? How many understand? So a little bit, line upon line, precept upon precept, year after year, God began to add to this revelation. And still there was no way possible to figure it out. And I really had got to the place, having no teacher and having to learn without error, because the first time you made a mistake in church, brother, you packed your suitcase and left town. They just wouldn't stand for it. You could go out on the sidewalk and the rest down the street corner and exercise trial and error style and make a few mistakes and they wouldn't care so bad, but not in church. Say hallelujah. So it was not very easy, and I almost had a collapse of like a nervous breakdown, but I didn't. God was merciful to me, and I went on a major fast. This was my second major fast. The first one was to be able to preach the gospel when I could not carry on a conversation. When I came off that one, which was 150 days, first a day, then a meal, two meals, and the whole day in that order, I divided it by three. And tossed in the extra meals and asked God to accept it, and he did, because I was in school and I was studying. And I felt like it was the equivalent to a 50-day fast, although in the 50-day interim, a whole day, then I took a meal, then I took two meals, and then I took the whole day again. So every third day was a whole day. And that was to preach the gospel. And I'm not telling you it's done by works, but for me, at that time in my life, it had to be. Something had to die out. Say amen. Well, that was in the year of 64, 63 and 64. But in 66, I went on the same sequence, a meal, two meals, and then the whole day, for a period of 120 days. Or I asked the Lord to accept it as a 40-day fast, and I fasted for one thing, just one thing, and that was to get rid of this revelation. Now, when you start fasting, don't fast for 100 different things, because you'll never be able to tell that anything's really happening. Be specific, and God will answer you specifically. Say amen. Well, when I concluded this fast, guess what happened? It didn't leave. It came stronger. Now I said, what am I going to do? I realized that moment that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And so I made a little deal with God, if I could be so bold as to say that. And I said, Lord, I'll accept this cross because it is a cross. In the 60s, my friends, if you operated Revelation Ministry, you were a psychic. You're a hypnotist. You're a mystic. You're a mental telepathist. You are an ESP operator. You're everything but a prophet of God. So it's the truth. Hallelujah. The good thing I was up in the Blue Ridge Mountains when God dunked me into it, because otherwise I don't think there was anyone in the world that would have accepted it. But In the decade of the 60s, though it was opposed, in the decade of the 70s, it became popular. And in the decade of the 80s, everybody and his brother is trying to do it. And I'm thankful for those who can, and I want them to. That's why I'm preaching upon the matter and the subject tonight. But remember, there's a price tag to all things that God gives you.
Hallelujah.
It'll cost you something somewhere along the line. And what happens here tonight has been paid for before tonight, as this ministry itself has been paid for.
Hallelujah.
Enjoying God's truth tonight. So I made this little deal with the Lord. I'm willing to carry this cross and the scourge and the blight or whatever else that it does to your reputation if you will allow me to feel confident enough to want to go back to church and feel free in church and really want and be relaxed in church. Because you see, I had got to the place where I thought, well, I'm just guessing here. The devil will tell you anything. You start infiltrating his realm and his kingdom and destroying him. And I said, my goodness, there's more people coming tonight. They're coming from 100 miles wanting to hear a word from God. How in the world can I give them a word from God? It's just impossible. What am I going to do? I don't even want to go to church. I hate to see 7 o'clock come. Say amen. But after this fast, the pressure let up. And I could at least go to church with confidence and feel free to go and not feel too bad about it. Of course, there's hardly ever been a night since then that I've never come to the platform but what I came in fear and trembling. Amen. You don't want to get cocky and you don't want to get overconfident. Beware you who think you stand. Take heed lest you fall. Walk softly and tread softly before Almighty God. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. My God is a consuming fire.
Hallelujah.
Oh, don't you want to fear him? Thank God. But in 66, 1 year after healing, revelation came. Now, the word of wisdom was absolutely necessary how to apply the knowledge you have already received. Have you got the definition of wisdom, the word of wisdom as a gift? How to apply the knowledge or the discerning that you've already received. Whether it's a supernatural revelation of the physical world, word of knowledge, or it's a supernatural revelation of the spirit world, discerning of spirits, you still must apply it to the problem and to the case by way of the word of wisdom or what to do about it. Again, you could know ever so much, it wouldn't do you an ounce of good if you didn't know what to do about it. Is that right? Now, let me give you my classic illustration. Oh, Sister Jones. Now, your name's Jones tonight. Don't take a fence. Oh, Sister Jones is back here in the tent, and the word of knowledge moves and says, Sister Jones has a bad heart. A supernatural revelation of a natural thing, bad heart. Also, discerning of spirits operates and says, Sister Jones is oppressed from the outside with a lying spirit. She's not possessed by it. It does not control her nor live in her because Christ is in her soul, she's saved. And her experience is up to date. But she constantly is buffeted from the outside world with an old gossiping tongue. And she gets on the phone and she pretty soon she's lying for the glory of God and exaggerating and speaking evangelistically and everything else. Say amen. And this old lying spirit oppresses her from the outside. And the only way you can know that is by discerning of spirits. Now, case in point, two gifts have already operated. Word of knowledge, bad heart. Discerning of spirits, lying spirit oppresses Sister Jones. Now, you know this. What on earth are you going to do about it? Smile and nod and go home? How are you going to contact Sister Jones? How are you going to help that woman? enter the word of wisdom. How to apply. How to contact. Now, the word of wisdom, rather, man's wisdom might say, oh, Sister Jones, don't worry about it. Just sit down. Someday it'll wear off. The doctor's wisdom might say, Mrs. Jones, take 6 pills, a green one, a pink one, a blue one, and a red one, a yellow one, and lay down, stick them underneath your tongue, don't breathe. Or whatever you do, don't go to one of them holy roller meetings. Hallelujah. Now that's man's wisdom, doctor's wisdom, wisdom that is from the earth is sensual, the scripture says. But the wisdom that cometh from above is pure. And it confounds the carnal reason of carnal men. Let this mind be in you tonight that was also in Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Now, God's wisdom as a gift might say, Sister Joan, leap to your feet and run around this tent 7 times. Okay, could say, Sister Jones, go make it right with your neighbor. Could say, Sister Jones, go home fast 3 days. Jones, read the book of Acts. Hallelujah. But let us say that this night the word of wisdom said, run around the tent 7 times. And of course, Sister Jones gets up and goes a huffing and a puffing running around the tent because the gift of faith has struck her. Enter the next gift. You see, there's no way to separate gifts of the Spirit. They all dovetail and they intertwine. It is quite impossible sometimes to find where one left off and another one began. But we are drawing fairly good lines tonight by way of the definition. The gift of faith is God's faith, not yours. You have natural faith, flip the switch, and you believe the light's going to come on, and it does. Turn the key in the car, you believe it's going to crank, and it does. That's natural faith. Now you come to the altar and repent of your sins and come to the Lord Jesus Christ as Jesus into your life, save your soul. You are saved by faith, the first step toward heaven, repentance. You're in a position of saving faith if you go on. Because there is no stopping place in God. Is that right? So even the technical folks, I have them over a barrel because they must go on. Because if they ever hold out and stop, they've lost what they started out with. Say amen. That beautiful? So now that is saving faith, or faith for a regeneration of the soul. Something happens in the soul when you repent of your sins and Christ's Spirit comes within you.
Hallelujah.
Of course, you're not filled with the Holy Ghost yet until you speak with tongues. That'll be an evidence that you're totally in Ezekiel's river up to here, overflowing and in head over heels. But no man can come unto God save the Spirit dark. No man can confess his Lord save by the Holy Ghost. And you don't get saved when you please. You can't even come to God unless conviction and the power of God draws you. Otherwise, you're signing books and shaking hands and joining clubs and paying tithes. Anybody can join the club. You're going to get born into the church. So you can't do it on your own. It's got to be the work of the Holy Spirit. And if that be true, then there is a measure of the Spirit working within you. Is it true? Glory to God. He, however, who hath the Spirit without measure can give you a greater measure. Oh, I know he can, and he will. So now this is what you call saving faith, but still it's man's faith. I am now talking about God's faith, God himself's faith, the gift of faith. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, nor any shadow turning. He won't vary. He won't turn away. He's not vacillating. He's not unstable in any way. When he gives it to you, it's real. And this gift of faith being his faith, suddenly one day, plop. Whew, God's faith hits you. That mountain turns to a molehill. You don't know where you got the faith. You sure didn't get it out of you. It wasn't you did it. You knew that. But you had faith to move mountains. It wasn't your faith. God gave you his. And I would say the greatest of the gifts are the gift of faith and the word of wisdom. I liken it to salvation's little car. Faith is the accelerator. It gets you going. In fact, the gift of faith is the one gift that operates all 9 gifts. It gets it into motion. It's the accelerator. However, of the 2 pillars of the 9 gifts of the Spirit, the second most important one, along with faith,
Of course, without faith, it's impossible to please God, we know. But the second one is word of wisdom, because word of wisdom is the steering wheel. Once you get started, it keeps you from going off the deep end. And it is also the brakes. It stops you when you must stop before you hang yourself or go over the cliff. Say amen. Is it true? Is it really true? So we find the accelerator, faith, steering wheel and brakes, word of wisdom. Now, let's pick up Sister Jones again. She's still chugging around the tent.
Hallelujah.
And as she's chugging around the tent, she did so because the gift of faith caught a hold of her and took her over, and she believed it, and she responded, she obeyed it. And while she is chugging around the tent by the gift of faith, suddenly the working of miracles hits her. Bang. And her heart's healed. And she's running around the seventh lap, and instead of dropping dead, she's totally healed. And if the doctor was there watching his patient, he'd have died of the heart attack.
Say amen.
Just watching Sister Jones go at it. Because that was God's wisdom that said for her to run. It was God's faith that caused her to grasp it and obey it. And it was God's miracle that took over and healed her while she was obeying.
Say hallelujah. Glory be to God.
Now, the working of miracles, we must give you the definition on that. It is the instantaneous work of God. Whether it's calming the tempest, walking the sea, multiplying loaves and fishes, pulling money out of a fish's mouth. Or, no matter what it is, even in the body, if it's instant, it's a miracle. Jesus talked about miracles of healing. That was instantaneous healing. As opposed to the next gift of the Spirit, which is the gift of healing, which is the gradual and progressive restoration of God. Two large Pentecostal denominations split over a doctrine. The doctrine was sanctification. One said it was a definite work, and the other one said it was a progressive work. And somebody asked, which one was right, Brother Freddie? My answer, I have tonight. They were both right. Because you've got to get it, that's definite. And then you've got to keep it, which is progressive. And everything God ever did, he did it instantly and progressively. How many remembers the day you got saved? Did you really get saved? Did it really happen? Was it definite? Did you have to stay saved after that? Then it was also progressive.
Hallelujah.
It was a daily progression. Now, how many remembers the night that you got filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke of tongues? Did it really happen? Was it real? Was it definite? Did you have to stay speaking in tongues every day? Paul said he spoke in tongues every day, spoke in tongues more than you all, forbid not to speak with tongues. Did you have to stay full? Then it was also progressive. Now, remember the time you got healed. Did it really happen? Did God give you a miracle? Were you sorely tried and tempted on it? Did you receive some kind of a symptom? And did the devil tell you you're going to have a relapse? And did you have to battle to keep the miracle? Then it was progressive also. For the devil does not go on vacation just because God does something for you. In time, you must get it and keep it. It must be definite and progressive. So miracles are an instant work of God. Even some technical person says, well, miracles and healings are two different things. No, Jesus referred to, with his own mouth, in the Gospels, to miracles of healing.
Hallelujah.
Instant healings. And then there's progressive restoration. Somebody said, I got 2 minutes, God. Can you bless me in 2 minutes? I think he can. Somebody says, I don't have time. I'm too big a hurry. I don't have time for a healing. I must have a miracle. Why would God do something gradual to build your faith? To process you, to condition you, to make a real man and woman of God out of you. Now, miracles are only appreciated, you know. Healing is what builds your faith. Somebody said, what are you talking about now? I am saying that it takes time for faith to grow. It takes time for faith to be exercised. To exercise takes time. And the time involved in my exercising is what makes my muscles or my faith to grow. But if I don't have time to do any exercising, my faith cannot grow. If you don't use your faith, then it can't grow. Now, watch. If God did a work for you instantly, What time did you have to use your faith? Faith can only grow through using it and exercising it. That is why you are very appreciative of the miracle, but it did not build your faith. Now, if God give you a progressive restoration or a healing, that would give you plenty of time for your faith to grow, because you have to believe God every day to perfect that healing. Say amen. Isn't that right? Glory to God. So how beautiful it is tonight that God does it instantly and progressively. Miracles are instant and healing is gradual. But I'd rather it take a while than never to get it. Now, there's healing in your flesh, in your body. God made you that way. I cut my finger, in 3 weeks it'll heal up. But if God heals me, I may heal up in 3 days. See that? It gives me a miracle, it'll be gone right now. You see the difference? If there's that much healing in the flesh, how much more healing is in the supernatural world if you'll just get in the Holy Ghost here tonight? Glory be to God. Glory. I thank God for these power gifts. I believe God's going to restore them to the church in this last day. I'm sick and tired of just talking about them and referring to them and innuendo and just reference. Paul's gospel came in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost, and when he got through preaching it, he demonstrated it, and he said it doesn't come no other way. There's no other gospel. If you've been listening to a gospel that has no demonstration to it, it's not Paul's gospel. Well, he said that himself. He said, if an angel from heaven preaches it different than I do, let him be accursed. If I come next year preaching it different than I did last year, don't listen to me either. What gospel do you preach, Paul? I preach the gospel, said Paul, that comes in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost, not flowery words and eloquency of speech, but your faith is not going to stand in the wisdom of men if I have anything to do with it. It's going to stand in the power of God. Hallelujah. I don't believe in hypocrite preaching. That is, preaching about healing and never having it. Preaching salvation, never seeing it. Preaching the Holy Ghost, nobody ever speaking in tongues. Preaching sanctification, and all you ever see is sanctification. In other words, husbandmen, be first partaker of the fruit. Know what you're talking about, and then you can really preach. And if you know what you're talking about, it's because you experienced it. And God wants to do this on a regular basis, but folks are ignorant of it or too scared. Some said, oh, you're not going to call me ignorant and get away with it, preacher. Well, I don't have to. Paul did. Say amen. Didn't he? He said, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I'd not have you ignorant. Say hallelujah. Are you happy? Whoa, don't you want to know more about what God's wanting to do all the time? Oh, let him have his way. Glory to God. Now, when I was growing up, I saw lots of wonderful things happen. I see my mother cast out devils and come out in great big balls of different this and that, and saw cancers falling off, and my father was healed of blindness. But it seemed like it was kind of hit and miss. If it happened, fine. If it didn't happen, fine. Someday it'll happen again. And they were just, the saints of God would just sit there and almost, not exactly like the Quakers, but they'd sit there and wait for God to do it. Now, God is a co-workmanship. We are workers together with Christ. We're partners. We're yoked. And in every contract and every covenant, if you do your part, God will do his. You've got to be willing to move on in God. Now, a turtle is the slowest thing on four legs, but he never gets no place until he sticks his neck out. And when he sticks his neck out, he don't get there too fast, but he gets there. Now, you got two choices tonight. Stick your neck out and go somewhere and God, or crawl back in your shell. And if you elect to crawl back in your shell, you better pray hard that you're a hard shell. Because you're not going to be able to stand the strain when you get run over. Your shell's going to crack. Say amen. So if you get in the way, you might get run over. Let's stick our neck out and believe God. Now, God does not mind being put on the spot. If you crawl out on the spot with him, you got to take a risk too. You get a dare to believe him. It's not going to be God, everything, and you sitting around. Well, Lord, don't put no risks on me. Lord, don't put me in jeopardy. Lord, don't put me out there where I'll feel any pressure. Don't you know it's pressure that causes these things to happen? Right. Some say, oh, I don't want pressure. It's making a man out of you. Do you know what a lump of coal will do under pressure? Turn it into a diamond. Say amen. Mother lode in the heart of the earth, biggest pearls in the bottom of the sea. Wherever there's pressure, things will formulate. Say amen. Some say, but I'm scared. How do you dare to do it, Brother Freddie? A fellow asked me that one night, and I explained it to him. I said, it's simple. Dead men feel nothing. You can pound on a corpse all day long, and he'll never know you're pounding. Say amen. You must die out to self and die out to your fears and misgivings, and then you'll do anything God tells you, and it'll work for you. Hallelujah. Glory. All right, quickly, let's pick up old Sister Jones again. Several gifts have operated in her already, or upon her. Word of knowledge, bad heart, discerning of spirits, oppressing lying spirit, word of wisdom, get up and run around the tent, gift of faith, her grasping it and obedience, working of miracles, God healing her instantly, slick and clean as a whistle. So there you have 3, 4, 5 gifts right there that operated one right after another in the life of Sister Jones's deliverance. Isn't that beautiful? Hallelujah. Well, you Pentecostals, let me drop a bombshell. There are more than 2 gifts of the Spirit. Tongues and interpretation of tongues. And when the other 7 start operating, it does not mean the devil just moved to town. Oh, aren't you glad in a well-balanced church, all 9 gifts of the Spirit will operate for the soul. And all 9 fruits of the Spirit will operate for the flesh. To keep it in line and balanced. Say amen. All right. And healing the gradual progression. Now let's quickly cover the last 3 gifts. We don't really have to because most folks are well versed in the vocal gifts when it comes to Pentecostalism. And of course the first is the gift of tongues. Somebody says, well, I hope I get the gift of tongues tonight because I need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. The gift of tongues and the baptism of the Holy Ghost is 2 different operations. Say amen. Amen. What you're talking about, preacher, tongues is tongues, isn't it? No. There are 3 reasons to speak in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Number 1, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh unto God. Not to man. If I'm speaking to man, I better speak 5 words of my understanding. I don't have to worry about God. He created all languages. He speaketh to God. Always, Paul had 2 categories on his hands when he spoke about tongues. He's speaking about talking to God and talking to congregations. But right now, we're speaking to God. Do you have a right to speak to God if you want to? Okay, the child, Samuel, ministered unto the Lord and then before Eli. If you do not minister to God, you have nothing to minister to people and congregations and Eli's. All right. Secondly, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Not supposed to edify yourself, brother. Oh, yes, you are. You're to build yourself up in the faith and build yourself up in the, encourage yourself in the spirit. There's enough discouragement going around, and it takes 10 positives to overcome 1 negative. So that's why you must edify yourself by speaking in tongues. Step 3, 3rd reason for speaking in tongues, the first 3 verses of Corinthians 14. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh mysteries. For no man, devil, nor beast understands him. So there is a way to pray and to talk to God that even the devil cannot get in on your conversation and intercept what you're planning and what you're doing and what you're talking about. Say hallelujah. Now, that's just speaking in tongues. That is the product of the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When God fills you with his spirit and you speak in tongues, that means he has your tongue under control. There's only 2 things your tongue can do, taste or talk. You can taste and see that the Lord is good and taste the honey in the rock from now to doomsday, but you could not prove it by me. But if I did hear you speak a language you never learned in seminary, college, university, or school, if I heard your tongue do something it couldn't do before, which is the only other thing it can do, is talk, then, said James, when God has your tongue, he's got all of you. It's the last member of the body to control. How deadly and evil a little fire kindled. It is the bridle that steers the horse. It is the rudder that guides the boat. And it's a deadly evil that no man can tame. But God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If man can't do it, I know a God who always can. God, nothing shall be impossible. God is a spirit, and if he controls your tongue, then the spirit of God will get in your tongue and control it and do something that it's never done before. And if he has your tongue, the last member of the body, the tongue, you can control everything but that. Man can control everything but that. Amen. When God's got that unruly member, then he's got all of you. And once he's got all of you, then you're filled, baptized, immersed in total fulfillment, full and under complete control. He's filled your cup and saucer too. You're bubbling over, you've reached the overflow. And when that happens, of course, the apostles always look for tongues as an evidence of the baptism or the fullness of the Spirit. Is that right? Now, one sister come up to me and said, Brother Freddie, quick, pray for me. Hurry, hurry. I said, what happened? Catastrophe? Holocaust? Tragedy? No. Just hurry up and pray. I need all 9 gifts of the Spirit. Instantly, I knew what she wanted. Her ego needed to be fed. She needed 9 packages of pink ribbons to sit on a shelf to show the world. Look what I got. I believe her name was Sister Super Spiritual. Yes. I said, little sister, are you using the gift you got? And she eyeballed me like they do, you know.
What gift?
I said, well, the gift of tongues, of course. Oh, no, not that gift, no. Yes, I have that gift, but I get worried about that. In fact, I get fearful every time I get ready to use it. I get scared, and I wonder what old Sister Jones is going to say. And so I just don't use it. I said, sister, if you don't use what you got, whatever made you think God's going to give you more? He doesn't give you nothing to waste. When he fed 5,000, he picked up 12 basketfuls of crumbs. Crumbs were so powerful that a Syrophoenician woman got a hold of one and cast the devil out of her daughter. Lazarus the beggar was eating them as they fell off the rich man's table, and he wound up in Abraham's bosom. Say amen. She said, oh, besides, Brother Freddie, tongues is the least of the gifts. I said, little sis, you ought to at least have the least of the gifts. If you didn't at least have the least of something, you wouldn't have too much of nothing now, would you? I said, until you're willing to use what God's give you, he'll not give you more. And it doesn't just work to prove it to skeptics and newspaper reporters. It doesn't work just to prove to you it works. God's gift only moves where there's a need for it. If the need is there, then it'll operate and the work will be done. Amen. I'm so happy there's so many sick people here tonight. I'm so thrilled that you're suffering. I'm just enjoying your misery. Because that way I'm going to see healings and miracles. The need is here. And if it wasn't here, if those needs weren't here, we would not see healings and miracles tonight. Some people want to see the altars filled of sinners. You have to bring sinners to church to have sinners saved. You can't save the saints over and over and over and over. Say amen. Amen. Are you hearing me? The need is going to be there. And then God will operate the gift. Hallelujah. All right. I love him. The gift of tongues. Now, tongues is the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You're filled with the Spirit. But gift of tongues is a message to the church. Not to God this time, to congregation. And it must be interpreted. Now, some say, well, I don't have the interpretation, but I'm going to give it. Pray that you have the interpretation. And if there's no interpreter, don't give it. But I can't help myself. Yes, you can. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. I'm out of control. You better get under control. Say hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Amen. If you're totally zapped out of your mind, then what's the sense you having the demonstration or the experience? You don't even know you're having it. You're not appreciating it. You're not enjoying it. You don't know what God taught you through the midst of it. Say amen. Now, neither do I advocate you initiating things on your own, just coming up here and dancing for calisthenics' sake. Amen. shouting and running just because, well, I used to dance and shout in the world, and now I'm a little frustrated. I got no place to dance and shout, so I'm just going to come here and do it. I believe you yield to the Spirit, and you step out by faith when God speaks to you, but then the anointing catches your feet, and then the power of God takes you over, and then you find it's the easiest thing you did, and it's an exhilarating experience beyond what you could do yourself, because God is doing His share and doing His part and doing the most of it for you. Hallelujah. Say praise the Lord. Now, in this charismatic world in which we live, they haven't learned that yet. Say amen. And I love those folks. I love them very, very much. And it's just that they have had the Spirit of God. They just need more teaching into the Word of God. Amen. And the same is true for people that know the Word of God frontwards and backwards and got no Spirit of God. I wish these folks, everybody, would get balanced. If all you've got is Word, you're going to dry up. And if all you've got is Spirit, you're going to blow up. But if you get the right mixture between the Spirit and the Word, you'll grow up. It's a combination. The Spirit and the Word agree to set people free. Say hallelujah. Are you happy? Glory be to God. So just for the sake of doing it, my friends, if you're just demonstrating because you want to do something, there's a deeper way. Learn that God will do it for you. Move into God and let Him take over and do it. And then it'll be beautiful. And then if there's an unbeliever or a sinner sitting around, He'll take notice and say, well, I know they're crazy. I know they're crazy, but there's something real here grabbing me. There's something taking me over. Something bigger than me. There's something here. But if you're just doing it for your own sake, your own fellow worshipers will tolerate you because they're doing the same thing. But if a sinner comes off the street and sits down and watches it, he'll say, I just know they're crazy, period. And I don't feel a thing. Say amen. Is it the truth? Oh, I love His wisdom, don't you? Hallelujah. Now, if the gift of God speaks to Paul, and the secrets of men's hearts are revealed, they'll fall down before you and report that God is in you of a truth. But I want this thing to be God. I've got other things to be doing if it's not God. Hallelujah. Are you happy? Neither do I want to scare anybody into thinking it's impossible for them to move in God, because it's easy to yield to the Spirit of God. Just make sure you do it. Hallelujah. The foolish Galatians, Paul said, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? The problem the Galatians was, they started off in the Spirit and wound up in the flesh. Now, if you begin in the Spirit, even, you must continue on in the Spirit till you're through. I had a fellow in my tent one night. I'm mostly preaching a tent. We have a tent, seats 1,500 to 2,000. And this fellow started dancing in the Spirit, and he was in the Spirit, and he started off in the Spirit, but halfway through his dancing, I knew it was real, because he was dancing with no music. Hallelujah. Not that dancing with music is wrong, because it's just as real dancing with music, but when you see somebody dancing on Spirit, and there's no music at all, you can pretty well make up your mind that's got to be real. Say amen. But anyhow, halfway through his dancing, he got in the flesh and began to notice and look around and came to himself. And not that you're out of yourself. You're still in the realm of reality, but you're caught up. Amen. There's a higher power buoying you up. But then he got in the flesh and got to thinking about what he's doing. And instead of sitting down after that, behaving himself, he just kept on dancing in the flesh. And pretty soon, with his eyes closed, he danced into a tent pole and knocked himself out. Amen. It would have been a whole lot better for the man who began in the Spirit to wind up in the Spirit. Amen. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? You're never made perfect in the flesh. Only the Spirit will make you perfect. Say hallelujah. Go ahead and rejoice. Rishikiyala bahatra. Oh, hallelujah to God. Woo, shukoyala bahai. Blessed be God. Well, do you love the Word tonight? I thought this was going to be brief and simple, and I'll soon be through, but it's rich and deep and powerful. As this subject always is, and I always preach it different. I always like to preach on it, but it always comes out different. Amen. I love it, don't you? Thank God. So here, The gift of tongues is a message to the church. And the interpretation of tongues is not translation of tongues, it's interpretation of tongues. See the difference?
Well, I thought I had the interpretation to that, but I held back and so-and-so gave it, and it was different than what I had to say, and oh, woe is me, I didn't have the interpretation after all.
It is not translation. That would be word for word, line upon line, dot for dot, tense for tense. But interpretation is the gist. It's the theme. It's the basic idea of what's being said. If you had stopped and listened and not been so legalistic about it and technical, if you'd listened, that person said primarily the same thing you would have said in different words. Maybe one phrase was ahead of the other. Some languages are that way, you know. French is backwards English. Say amen. You'd have been listening. The theme and the gist and the basic idea of what's being conveyed is conveyed by that person, which you would have done too had you had the nerve to go ahead and obey God. Is that right? That's why it's not translation, it's interpretation of tongues. Isn't that true? Oh, so, I thank God. Now, the reason is that somebody knows a 50-cent word and I only know a 10-cent word. But the two words mean the same thing. And so, although we use different words, it's referring and meaning the same thing. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. And so there it is, again, that God uses personality. He has to use you just like you are, so quit trying to copy somebody. We already got one of him. He's hard enough to stand. Be yourself. God will use you. Hallelujah. So if you be yourself, that is another reason why it's interpretation, because God's going to speak through your style and personality what he's trying to convey across to the people. Say amen. Oh, yes. Now, one last gift is prophecy. And prophecy is twofold. First of all, prophecy as a verbal gift takes the place of tongues and interpretation. In other words, it sounds like interpretation without the tongues. In other words, if you're English, it just comes flat out in English with no tongues ahead of it. Say, if you're French, French, Spanish, comes out in Spanish. But prophecy could be scriptures already prophesied and you're reiterating or repeating them. Could be the message of the hour. It sounds sometimes like high class preaching. Amen. Sometimes it's just a word fitly spoken like apples of gold and baskets of silver. It is exhortation. It is in your own language. Prophecy in its initial sense. But prophecy in its long sense and deep sense and more important sense is technically and actually history written in advance. You're foretelling what is to come. Someone said, I know something you prophesied, Brother Freddie, it didn't come to pass. Bite your tongue. Don't say it didn't come to pass. All you have a right to say is, it hasn't come to pass yet. My time is not God's time. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his ways above my ways. A year, 1,000 years is a day with the Lord, and a day is 1,000 years. Say amen. Glory to God. If you're honest about it, the day will come. If you're honest and you're observant, you'll see the very identical thing come to pass in your life, and the Spirit will make it real to you when it happens. May not be when you think it is. Be farther on down the road. But in Ezekiel's wheels and life going in cycles and in revolutions, you'll come to that point on the circle again when it will happen in your life. The prophecy will be fulfilled. Amen. So aren't you glad for gifts of the Spirit? We're not ignorant about them like we once were. In fact, there's some folks sitting here tonight who are not as ignorant about them as they was just a half an hour ago. Say praise the Lord. The 9 gifts of the Spirit, I'm going to try to bring it to a halt here. There's many things that's got to be done in the service tonight, and invariably when we preach on this subject, we have to demonstrate it. Then again, I wouldn't want it no other way. Hallelujah. I want it to be real, or I'm going to quit and find something that is real. I want to preach Paul's gospel, not just close the book and say, everybody come home, or everybody come down to the altar and do your thing. I would rather, when I get through preaching it, show that it was workable and real, and it could happen. That way I would feel more like I had preached Paul's gospel. Say amen. Are you happy?
Glory be to God. I do love him because he first loved me. Purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Later tonight in the service, we're going to have a gifts receiving line. I want you to think and pray about what gift God wants you to have. And not by the laying on of hands will you receive a fully matured, 100% operational gift. It's a seed being planted. It's an embryo being placed within the womb of the church. Say amen. And you, a member in particular. And you will, however, have the right to exercise it. You will feel the very seed of it starting to grow. And the more you use it, the stronger it will become in your life. And no matter how powerful it grows and gets in your life, if you don't keep using it, it's liable to grow weak and flabby again. Because there are people that's going to come in the line tonight who already have gifts, but they're laying dormant through inactivity. And they must need to be stirred up again within them. You believe it? You receive it. Paul said to the Roman church, I long to come unto you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. Paul said that to the Romans. And to Timothy, he said in the first epistle, neglect not the gift that lies within you that was given to you by the laying on of hands. 2 Timothy, he writes, now stir up the gift that lies within you. Evidently, Timothy had neglected it. So the same laying on of hands tonight that gives or imparts gifts, that same laying on of hands can stir up gifts that are already there laying dormant through inactivity. Say amen. Glory to God. And it can be as strong as you want it, but have it and exercise it, and then God will develop it in your life. And it's high time that Pentecostalism got the gifts of the Spirit back into the church. It's got to be done. It's got to be done. Hallelujah. Oh, I love him, don't you? But we're not going to have the gifts receiving line just yet. We're going to be praying the prayer of faith, demonstrating what we preach, and try to meet the needs that have come tonight on the last night of the meeting so that they can be met too. And then the final act of tonight's service will form a line to pray that God would plant the gift of the desire of your heart within your heart. Hallelujah. Some say, I don't know what gift to pray for. Well, then pray for faith or wisdom. They're the two pillars upon which all the gifts do operate. And then you can go from there. Hallelujah. Well, I want the gift of this, that, and the other. Listen, just ask for one. Pray specifically. Deal one thing at a time. Rome wasn't built in a day. Hallelujah. Don't try to do everything at once or you have a Jonas gourd on your hands. Came up in a night and it perished in a night. Anything that comes quick will leave quick. So work on it. Let God develop into you at least one thing. Unless he tells you otherwise, just ask for the gift that he has dealt with you the most. Okay? Say praise the Lord. Oh, I'm happy. I love him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Blessed be Jesus. Well, enough said about the gifts of the Spirit. How many has learned much tonight? Put up your hands, let's worship. We're going to obey God, and after the ministry of the Spirit tonight, then we will have a line of prayer for those who need to receive the same thing in their own life to exercise from today on. Hallelujah to God. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. He's my friend and true to the end. Rakatabandababuhushriandai. Glory be to God. I love you, Jesus. Now, someone said, whatever you do, give an altar call. God, don't jump to conclusions. It's the only exercise some people get. Jumping to conclusions. Amen. How to use the miracle to win the soul. Most every night we give an altar call for souls, and usually it's two ways. The first altar call is by invitation, and if they don't come that way, we take the second altar call by ear. We go and get them by the ear. So one way or the other, God's going to reach the soul tonight. And he may do it through the working the miracle first. He will heal a sinner. And then he'll say, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. He will not give a sinner the Holy Ghost. You're going to get blood washed first and water washed before you get oil anointed. He'll never put the oil where the blood is not applied. And you cannot have Holy Spirit fill you until you are at first holy. Amen. So it's a different operation. That's why Philip had healings
and salvation and miracles, but it took Peter and John to come down to Samaria to lay hands on them and receive the Holy Ghost. It was a different operation receiving the Holy Ghost. Amen. So, though some folks do get filled with the Holy Ghost when we pray for them, but the laying on of hands, it is first, only first, because God has cleansed them first. And he did it so fast that you couldn't follow it. For God moves quick sometimes. He does more in 2 seconds than you can in your whole life. So it's hard to analyze everything God does. But we thank God that he does anything. Praise the Lord. I love him. I'm going on to pray now. And I may not give an altar call like I've been every night. But then again, don't jump the gun and try to figure out God's business for him. Say amen. Are you happy? That brother sitting right there, would you stand? God's going to heal you first tonight. You believe he will. You've had a condition in your chest, in your lungs, bronchial tubes. Is that right? God's going to take this thing out. It's like bronchitis. I see you one day, not long ago, hacking so bad, you asked yourself the question, do I have asthma? Huh? It's leaving your chest. Secondly, you have some blood pressure in your body. Is that true? It goes high. It's coming down now. Shall I stop or pray for it all? Oh, he's getting hoggish. He wants it all. Hallelujah. Thirdly, you've had a little burning place, spot, hit your stomach lining, and you have questioned whether or not you had an ulcer. God is taking the burning spot. It is not quite an ulcer, but it is the makings of one. Is that right? Have I spoke you the truth so far? I don't know you, do I?